Welcome to another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Hilaria Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And the Directors Guild Awards.
Yes, the Directors Guild Award for Best...
Best Picture.
Best Picture was distributed this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to Sam Mendes for 1917.
Not a bad choice.
No. There were worse choices they could have made.
Definitely. Now, what all was up for the award? It was 1917, Joker. What else was there? There was Irishman?
Sure, ask me this after I...
After you power down everything. Yeah, I know. I'm demanding like that. I expected you just to know. Because normally, you do just know. What's happened, John?
Fuck yourself, that's what happened.
A little direct, but okay.
For feature film, the nominees were Sam Mendes for 1917, Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit.
There are some really good options there.
Yes. There's also The Irishman.
Yeah, well, you know, Scorsese is beloved, so he's going to get nominations for things because it's Scorsese.
Yeah.
It's just, okay. So how does this impact the Oscar race? Because I know that that's...
Well, this has been recently... The DGA Award has been a very good predictor of Best Director.
Okay.
But not such a great predictor of Best Picture.
All right. Can you give me an example?
Last year, Alfonso Cuarón won.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, especially since they've opened the race to 10 pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 10 pictures for Best Picture. So you're thinking things are looking pretty good for Mendes then as Best Director?
Probably, but nothing is... Voting hasn't started yet, so...
Yep.
We shall see, we shall see, we shall see.
In just a couple weeks...
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Now would be a good time to let our listeners know that if they wanted to write in and tell us their predictions, who would win the Oscars this year?
mail@neonmoviebunker.com
is a great way to do that. Of course, you could also...
Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
It's almost as if you know exactly what I was going to say.
Twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker or @JohnNMB.
Or...
@LRANeonMB.
That's right.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course...
www.neonmoviebunker.com for all your Neon Movie Bunker needs.
All right. Well... Now that we've got that settled, John.
Yes.
You saw The Gentlemen.
I did.
How was it?
Okay.
All right. Excellent.
Ellery.
Yeah.
You watched Motherless Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So, listeners, if you saw either The Gentlemen or Motherless Brooklyn, please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime.
DVDs and Blu-rays.
And an actual review from John.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really had it going there.
We did.
There was a rhythm.
I know. And we would have had our first, like, 3-minute episode. Well, our first 3-minute Neon Movie Bunker episode. I've had 3-minute episodes before.
The 3-minute ones aren't that bad.
No, no.
It's the 3-hour ones that.
3 hours, nothing. That's 10-year one that still I'm having trouble shaking. So, John.
Yes. The Gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Guy Ritchie, screenplay by Guy Ritchie, story by Guy Ritchie, Ivan Atkinson, and Marne Davies.
Okay.
Stars Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, Michelle Dockery, Jeremy Strong, Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant, Henry Golding, and a cast of literally more.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. I am not even going to... I'm going to only attempt to outline the plot of this movie in the broadest of strokes.
Okay.
Not because it's spoilery.
Okay.
But because there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Ray works as the right-hand man for the American expatriate marijuana king of England, or Michael Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
One night, Ray is walking through his house and he hears, "Buenos tardes, Raimondo." And it is private investigator Fletcher, played by Hugh Grant.
Okay.
Ray is Charlie Hunnam.
Right.
Matthew McConaughey is Michael. Fletcher takes Ray on a verbal voyage through what he knows about what's going on. See, the editor of one of the daily tabloids has put Fletcher on Michael's tail to try and basically ruin him.
Okay.
He wants dirt so he can publish it, so he can, you know.
Right.
In the ever so charming way that the British tabloids do.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher finds out that Michael's trying to get out of the business. He's trying to retire. He's trying to sell his business and retire.
All right.
The price tag he has put on this business is $400 million.
All things considered, that's not outrageous.
No. But Fletcher is trying to blackmail Ray because he knows dirty dealings and
that they were done dirt cheap?
Oh, no, these were not done dirt cheap. These are very expensive dirty deals.
Gotcha.
He's asking for $20 million from Ray to not tell the editor what he knows.
Okay, then.
The editor being Big Dave. There are double crosses. There are triple crosses. There is a member of a Chinese tongue called Dry Eye, played by Henry Golding, who is making moves to move up the ladder.
Okay.
There is the heroin-addicted daughter of an English lord involved. And the scummy friends she has, one of whom suffers a gravitational incident.
Mm.
But then he's connected to somebody, and then there are the guys who raid one of Michael's grow ops, and the boxing coach that they work under, played by Colin Farrell.
Okay. This is sounding like a throwback to some previous Guy Ritchie type work.
It is.
All right. And that's not a bad thing.
It is not. Like, Guy Ritchie's last picture was Aladdin.
Yeah.
Which seemed like an odd fit, but it made $1 billion, so.
He did an okay job with it.
And that doesn't even get into what happens with Michael's wife and so on and so forth, and then it takes a what could almost be described as an Ocean's 12-ish turn.
Okay. Gotcha. But okay.
And eventually we come to an ending.
Hmm.
As you pointed out, this is Ritchie throwing back to territory that he has trod in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Rock and Rolla.
Mm-hmm.
And The Gentleman is perhaps the high point for that kind of British gangster milieu.
Hmm.
It's really well done.
Excellent. I have heard some very good things about Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant, we talked for so long about the McConaissance.
Yeah.
We are not talking enough about the Grant awakening or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You tried.
I tried.
It was a noble effort.
No, it wasn't.
Well, it was an effort.
Yeah. Not much of one, but it was.
Right.
Between Paddington 2, mm-hmm. I'm going to even throw it back to Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, he was pretty damn awesome in that.
Yeah. And now in this, Scoundrel really is his wheelhouse and should always have been. Hmm. You know, the floppy-haired stammerer of the Richard Curtis vehicles,
mm-hmm.
like Four Weddings and Funeral and Notting Hill,
right?
Even Love Actually, are just... And I like those movies.
Yeah.
But his part in them is a lot less interesting than what he's been doing as a bad guy
mm-hmm.
recently.
I would say almost even Bridget Jones.
Of course, that complicates things because there are elements of biography to Bridget Jones' diary.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Hugh Grant is a hoot here. Matthew McConaughey is good. Henry Golding displays another side of himself besides charming leading man.
Excellent.
Colin Farrell is doing it again.
Yeah, he's consistently good.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen anything where I was like, man, Colin Farrell was really phoning it in. Everything that I've seen, except for maybe Phone Booth,
yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. But no, I mean, everything I've seen him in, he has been a high point of it.
Yeah. And he's got a lower key role here, but he's doing really well with it.
Excellent.
This is, if you just want a violent, language-filled hoot,
mm-hmm.
you want to see The Gentlemen.
Okay. Yeah, lots of provocative language.
Yes.
They say fuck a lot.
That's not the one that gets you.
No?
No.
Excellent.
It's the repeated use of the C word.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
So, yeah, The Gentleman in theaters now. Easily the best thing I've seen so far in 2020. See it.
Wonderful. Coming out this week on DVD, Blu-ray, and other home media type releases is Motherless Brooklyn, written and directed by Edward Norton from the novel by Jonathan Lethem. Stars Edward Norton, Ethan Suplee, Bruce Willis, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, and many others.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, among the many others.
Yes.
Bobby Cannavale is in there.
Neat.
Yeah, it follows a twisty-turning set of events involving a detective agency run by Frank Minna, played by Bruce Willis, who has information on some scandals that span local government, rape, family of the mayor, city planning, and more. When Frank is killed and the root of his death is left, when his murder is left unsolved, put it that way, it kicks up some mess in the small detective agency that he was running.
Okay.
His right-hand man, Lionel Esrig, played by Edward Norton, decides to take up investigating his death and what led to the circumstances that led to that. And the rest of the agency is okay with this because Lionel, he's incredibly smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to remember things pitch perfect. Okay. He never has to take notes.
Okay.
He, however, does suffer from Tourette's.
Oh, boy.
Which makes certain aspects of private investigating a bit difficult for the man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the basic thrust of the story. And eventually the whole thing comes to a close. Norton made the decision to move this from when the book was released. It was set in this current time period, which was the late 90s.
Okay.
And he decided to move it because the story and the material fit so well in a film noir, he decided to move it to the 1950s.
Okay.
It works.
Cool.
The cast in general is doing good, solid work here. The directing is solid. It uses flourishes of film noir. You know, you get the narration from Lionel, you get all the wonderful things that film noir is known for having, like the people that you trust that maybe you shouldn't, the friend that maybe you should trust more than you do, the all of that is in there. And when you have a cast that includes, you know, I mean, I didn't even mention Willem Dafoe, who's in this. There is some really great talent in this, and they're all doing very good work.
Cool.
This, I'm going to compare it to another movie from last year, and you're going to think, oh my God, that's damning it. But this movie, in a lot of ways, is sort of like Gemini Man. In that...
Go on.
It would have felt right at home in multiplexes in the 1990s.
Okay.
Had this come out in 1998, it probably would have been one of my favorite movies of the year.
Okay.
You know, it just...
Interestingly, my favorite movie of 1998 was an Edward Norton project.
Right. It has that 90s Miramax feel to it, from the way it was shot to the casting to the material. The whole thing feels very much of that late 90s noir renaissance, you know, the time period that gave us things like Seven and L.A. Confidential or The Usual Suspects.
Okay.
It is much more stylized towards the L.A. Confidential side of things.
Sure, it makes sense with
the time period. Right. But it is really a well-made movie and very entertaining. Norton's performance as Lionel with the Tourette's is, it's one of those things where if he goes the wrong, if he makes the wrong steps and the wrong choices with it, it very easily could have been Saturday Night Live sketch material.
Mm.
It's not.
Oh, good.
He does a really good job with it. It doesn't play weird. It plays naturally, and it works incredibly well.
Very cool.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend this. In fact, had this come, like I said, had this come out in the late 90s, it would have been something that I would have like latched onto and watched over and over again.
Very cool. So, listeners, did you see The Gentleman or did you see Motherless Brooklyn? Please let us know what you thought. Mail at neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime,
DVDs and Blu-rays.
That's right. And coming out this week on 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray is Tammy and the T-Rex, the R-rated cut.
Oh, boy.
Yep. One of the weirder things to play at Cinepocalypse last year is getting a home video release. And I'm excited.
Okay. Also coming on DVD and Blu-ray from our friends at the Criterion Collection is All About My Mother.
Ah, yes.
From Pedro Almodovar.
Mm-hmm.
Almodovar is a god who walks on this planet. And
yeah, he's a favorite of yours, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
And this is another building block in that reputation.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the cornerstones, actually.
Yeah. Although I wonder if they're going to do Talk to Her from Criterion. That would blob my noctab.
You should prepare yourself for such a thing. You should prepare yourself for such a thing.
Excellent.
At least that's what the little birdies are telling me.
Cool.
Looking at catalog titles, although both of our picks this week are catalog titles, there are a couple more options out there for you. If you're interested in slasher movies, Edge of the Axe, it's a UK slasher film, is making its way to Blu-ray from our friends at Arrow. And Underwater, with an exclamation point, starring Jane Russell from 1955, is making it to Blu-ray from Warner Archive. As opposed to Underwater, no exclamation point, featuring Kristen Stewart.
Also, another one from our friends at Criterion this week is Failsafe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's kind of a big deal, too, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, all sorts of goodness. And Parasite this week, too.
Yep, this is a really good week for home video.
Yeah.
It's been quiet, but now it's time to start.
Oh, and Terminator Dark Fate.
Funny you should mention that, because I was going to say, skip Terminator Dark Fate.
Yes, indeed.
Skip with confidence.
Skip it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Skip it fast.
In fact, If you do end up with a copy of it, go to your nearest pond, take the disc out, and see if you can skip it across the pond, because that's going to be more entertaining for you than actually watching the movie.
Yes. Hey, Elroy.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Oakley Doakley, what are we going
to
go see?
First on my list of things to see right now is The Gentlemen.
All right.
Because it's a hoot.
I'm up for that.
Next on my list of things to see right now... Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's back in some theaters.
That it is.
And last on my list of things to see right now, if you want something that's not going to hurt your brain and not going to really engage your brain, but has people imploding, Underwater.
Underwater is a lot of fun.
Thunderwater!
Yeah. Yes, I enjoyed it immensely.
I figured you would.
If you're going to stay home and pop something to your home video player of choice, be it DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming, the first thing I'm going to recommend to you is Parasite.
Cool.
Just a fantastic movie. Follow that up with The Addams Family, a recent animated feature, and then why not Motherless Brooklyn? It's, like I said, it's fun neo-noir, does a really good job of conveying that tone, has some great performances in it.
All right. Want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter @neonmoviebunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRANeonMB.
We are available through Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify.
That we are.
And please visit www.neonmoviebunker.com. It's new, it's improved, it's spectacular.
Yay!
And so we come to the end of another episode of Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by Elroy Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm not imploding.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.